with much of the repetition edited out.
"She's awfully good, isn't she?"
Vijay said, sitting in bed beside Jamie. "She sure is," he said, feeling dog-tired, heavy-lidded. But he slid an arm around her bare shoulders. "You're a lot better, though." Vijay smiled at him.
"And a lot closer, eh?"
Cellini, Governing Council. It's funny, thought Douglas Stavanger as he took a seat toward the end of the long conference table. "I haven't been chairman of the council in years. I'm not even a voting member anymore. But wherever I sit, everybody turns to me as if I were still in charge." Power. Some people spend their lives scrabbling for power. Others run away from it, from the responsibilities and the never-ending pressure to make decisions. Stavanger shook his head in bemused wonderment. "I never sought power. At least I didn't consciously. It just sort of fell into my lap, and I can't get rid of it." The conference room was in one of the two office towers that supported the massive concrete dome of the Grand Plaza. Through the long window that took up most of one wall, Stavanger could see the miniature trees and flowering shrubs that lined the plaza's winding walkways, the curving shell of the open-air bandstand, the Olympic-sized swimming pool with its 30-meter diving platform. As the other council members took their seats, Stavanger glanced up the table at the chairman, sitting at the head of the table. He was a retired engineer who had come to Cellini originally on a one-year contract to work on the solar energy farms spread out across the floor of the crater Alphonsus. He had never left the moon. Assigned to a term on the governing council by the computer-operated lottery that picked new members from the general population, he had stayed through three terms and risen to the chairmanship. He was a round-faced, smiling Swiss who made friends easily and handled administrative chores mainly by delegating responsibility to his minuscule staff. He would have to step down from the council at the end of this term, unless the entire population of Cellini voted by a 3-to-1 majority to extend his time in office. "Are we all here?" he asked, looking up and down the table. Every seat was filled. "All those who are absent will please raise their hands." A patter of weak laughs went around the table. It was the chairman's standard joke, part of his sense of humor that had apparently taken root in his mind when he was in high school. Stavanger settled back in the comfortably cushioned chair as the meeting commenced. He noted with wry amusement that even the chairman focused on him when he spoke, as if he were still in charge. The meeting ran smoothly enough. No major problems outside of the usual disputes over water allocations and proposals to enlarge the underground city so that still more retirees from Earth could become citizens of Cellini. "We have enough of these refugees," one of the councilwomen complained. "The more we let in, the more they influence our politics." "Well, that's only fair, isn't it?" said another woman, sitting on the other side of the table. "If they're citizens, they ought to influence our politics." "It's time to shut the door," the first councilwoman said, looking squarely at Stavanger. He straightened up in his chair. It's hard to refuse people who've lost their homes on Earth. "It's their own damned fault. They sat on their hands for years and years and let the greenhouse overwhelm them. Now they want to run away from it and come here." The debate grew hot, with some council members insisting that no more refugees be accepted for citizenship. As their voices rose, Stavanger held up his hand and asked the chairman to recognize him. The angry arguing stopped, and all eyes turned to him. "Do you think it would be possible," Stavanger asked mildly, "to have newcomers go through a waiting period before they're allowed to apply for citizenship?"
"They have to wait 6 months," said the chairman. "That's in our constitution."
"Could we stretch it to a few years? Give them enough time to learn how our community works. Let them integrate themselves into our society." The debate growled on for another half hour, but much more politely. Stavanger watched and listened, content that he had sucked the venom out of the argument. In the end, the council voted to extend the waiting period for citizenship to 5 years, and then immediately voted to enlarge the city's underground living area by 20%. The chairman nodded happily, then said,
"That leaves only one item on the agenda, Mars."
Again, they all turned to Stavanger. Clasping his hands together on the table, Stavanger said, "The explorers on Mars need our help.
Funding from national governments Earthside has been cut to zero, and private donations to the Mars Foundation are running dry. What can we do about it? We can't spend billions on Mars, for God's sake. It won't take billions, Stavanger said with a soft smile. Basically, they need help with two things. Transportation and supplies. How many people are we talking about? At the moment, there's just over 200 people, all at one base in the Grand Canyon. We're supposed to feed 200 people? On Mars? They grow some of their own food, Stavanger replied. Two of our people are there right now, studying. Who sent two people to Mars? They volunteered. One's an agro-engineer, and the other a logistics specialist. A glorified accountant, somebody said in a sage whisper. Stavanger waited for the snickering laughter to die out, then admitted, he does have a CPA ticket in addition to his engineering degrees. And he went to Mars? Asked the chairman, trying to move the discussion forward. Yes. He and the agro man want to see how the Mars base might be made self-sufficient food-wise. And we paid for their transportation. They went on a fusion torch ship that the Mars Foundation paid for. Hitchhikers, huh? A few council members laughed again. You might say that, Stavanger replied. The chairman asked, just what does the Mars team need, and how much of it can we afford to give them? Stavanger hesitated a heartbeat. Then, I don't think of it as giving them anything. I think we'd be investing in the exploration of a new world. Damned expensive investment. With no return. No return? Stavanger snapped. They've found the remains of intelligent life. They're uncovering villages and finding a whole ecology of living organisms. Isn't that return enough? It doesn't buy any bread. With a shake of his head, Stavanger replied, it wasn't that long ago that we were the ones who needed help. This community of ours began as a collection of aluminum cans scattered across Alphonsus's floor. We needed help from Earth in those days. Now the people on Mars need help from us. That's all well and good, said one of the older men. But the question remains, what's in it for us? We can't afford to run a charity operation. We're already doing that with the damned refugees, grumbled one of the other councilmen. For several heartbeats, Stavanger didn't reply. He looked up at the acoustic tiles of the ceiling, then broke into a grin as a teenaged girl flew past the window on colorful plastic wings. How to answer them, he was asking himself. How to make them see. Look, he said at last, we're in a battle against the armies of ignorance. The other council members stirred with curiosity. Even the chairman's perpetual grin faded into a puzzled, almost worried expression. Back on Earth, most people are governed by those who are using religion to suppress freedom. They are the ones who ignored the warnings about the greenhouse, who denied that the Earth's climate was changing. They are the ones who allowed this catastrophe to overwhelm the Earth. What's that got to do with Mars? Hear me out, please. Those people tried to rule us. They sent troops here to force us to bend to their authority. They killed our citizens. If and when they feel strong enough, they'll try it again. No, I can't believe that. Believe it, Stavanger said firmly. All through history, human civilization has been a struggle between individual liberty and the power of the state. Whenever a religious movement has gained the reins of governmental power, individual liberties are strangled. That's what's happening on Earth today, now. Several council members glanced uneasily at one another, but no one contradicted him. Why do you think so many refugees want to live here? Stavanger continued. If they're wealthy enough to come to Selene, they're wealthy enough to take their pick of safe residences on Earth. They're coming here for freedom. Not because they want to live in cramped underground quarters. Not because they want to worry about water allocations and air pressure regulations. They want to be free. Socially, intellectually, even religiously free. The chairman said slowly, Doug, I still don't understand what this has to do with Mars. It's part of the battle. Part of the long war for human freedom. Oppression thrives on ignorance.
The explorers on Mars are finding new facts, new ideas.